This is The Drive with Greg Burton on ESPN Radio 950.
All right, back here. And so if you're flipping around and you're fortunate enough to have TV in your office like I do, multiple, so you're flipping around and all of a sudden the 19th Sports Center of the morning stops and all of a sudden they go to live to Blacksburg and they're showing practice. There's probably Hokie fans. That's like, other than, you know, football 24 hours a day, just turn it on ESPN, seeing the Hokies practice. That's like heaven. Will Stewart from TechSideline.com. How cool was that, Will?
That was way cool, Greg. I've never gotten a chance to really hang out and watch a practice, particularly not from three or four different vantage points with expert commentary. So it's pretty interesting.
They were one of three schools that were selected. They're going to do Tennessee on Wednesday and LSU on Friday. Tech's always been pretty open. Beamer's always been pretty open about media access and his practice, but this is something obviously that gave fans a real inside look, clipping a mic on him. And did he have any problems, or were there any concerns about them coming in and doing that this morning?
Well, it's funny. We were sitting around the office, and at one point we were watching Steinspring deal with the offensive line, and Chris Coleman, who works here at Tech Sideline now, turned to me and said, "Do you imagine he's concentrating really hard on not cussing?"
I know how he feels. Trust me. Every day I go through that.
But it didn't appear to cause him any trouble. Things went smoothly. Beamer at one point did say, "What the hell?" when his defense didn't try to tackle a runner. They just kind of let him go. But it didn't appear to cause him a whole lot of trouble. Although it was strange at one point to see, Glennon and Sean Glennon and Marcus Vick were throwing some passes, and it was funny to see a cameraman get right up in Marcus's face right in the middle of what's typically a closed practice.
I mean, they had all access. Yeah, they had, I want to say, something like 8 cameras, a full production truck, and if they taped the morning practice and had it ready for air by 1 o'clock, they were really hustling. But it was cool, and it's just, again, it's to give fans. There's so much programming on the air. There's, all the talk shows and 24 hours and internet. So it's just a way, I think, for ESPN to kind of give them a glimpse, and that they pick Tech, obviously, is certainly a big deal and kind of shows where the programs come under Frank Dean.
Yeah, I can't imagine that, to be honest, Greg, I can't imagine it was really interesting to anybody other than Virginia Tech fans. I thought, the thing I found interesting about it was throughout the course, first of all, the practices are highly structured and they move quickly from one thing to the next. But they start practice out with stretching and that sort of thing. And then what they do is they go through individual drills, then they go through one-on-one drills, and then they go through team drills. So it builds throughout the practice from individual instruction to team instruction. And that was interesting to see.
I guess the scrimmage Saturday was a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, I think so. You got guys battling for positions on the depth chart, and that's... Although I don't know, that's a motivating factor, but being shown on ESPN is motivating too. So no doubt the guys in practice today were keeping themselves on the straight and narrow.
From all indications, the defense dominated the scrimmage on Saturday. Vic was 4 of 9 for 82 yards, but obviously the defense spent a lot of time in the backfield.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that worked there. Number one, they matched it. Sometimes, for example, they matched the number one defense against the number two offense, and it's difficult for Tech's number one offensive line to slow down their number one defensive line, and there's no way the number two offensive line is going to do it. And the other thing is, during these preseason practices, the quarterbacks are in yellow jerseys, and if a defender even really gets close to him, they blow it dead. So when you hear there were 10 sacks in a 50-play scrimmage, it sounds outrageous, but it's not unheard of. And one of my favorite stories to tell about this is that I remember when I first started running Tech Sideline years ago when it was called Hokie Central, there was a scrimmage report, and a player had 6 sacks in one scrimmage. You know who that player was?
Who?
Jason Buckland.
Who?
Who, exactly.
Those
preseason scrimmage sack totals don't really mean a whole lot.
But, then I'll play devil's advocate, because there's been so much coming out of Blacksburg and on the message boards about how sharp they've looked and how fantastic. And, boy, this is as good as a Tech team has looked in practice. So, where do you draw the line where, they're looking good and sharp, and, hey, it's just a practice, hey, it's just a scrimmage?
Well, you're getting into that time-honored argument. If there are 10 sacks, is that great for the defense or bad for the offense?
Right.
It's really hard to draw an evaluation. And Beamer himself even admitted they were trying to get everybody in there and play everybody. And if you've ever seen a spring game, they're not much fun to watch, because you know, the players are in and out of the game, and there's no continuity at all, so the offense suffers.
Well, nobody's trying to win. I mean, they're trying to determine who's going to be the backup right guard or who's going to be the backup quarterback. I mean, they're trying to determine who are going to be the 53 guys that are going to play. They're not at all worried about who's winning, who's losing. And that's, I guess that's the fundamental problem, right?
Well, and one of the other things they're doing, that's a problem, but one of the other things they're doing right now is, you know, they're shuffling the offensive line around trying to figure out what they want to do with their guards and their centers. And when you're shifting guys every few plays, you know, as you know, offensive lines need to work together for long periods of time and typically don't gel until about halfway through the season. So, you know, when you get guys 12 practices into the fall and they're all shuffling around, your defensive ends and defensive tackles are going to take advantage of that.
Well, when I was down there 2 weeks ago, Beamer said flat out, O-line is the key to progress. I mean, they've got to get tougher and more consistent. Is Danny McGrath still the guy at center?
That's one of the things they're trying to figure out. They can go with a guard-center-guard combo of Will Montgomery, Danny McGrath, and Jason Murphy, or they're trying to figure out, do they want to put Brandon Gore at one of the guard spots and move Montgomery down the center and bump McGrath out of center.
So there's actually talk of putting Will back to center after making this switch in the offseason.
Yeah, because he's their best offensive lineman, and he knows the offense best, and that, you know, The scuttlebutt, even though the depth chart currently says Montgomery, McGrath, and Murphy, the scuttlebutt is that they really want Gore to step up and step into that guard spot so they can put Montgomery at center.
Well, Gore's so huge, man. He's 6'5", 359.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's a monster.
Now, he's a guy who has always been a big guy, and, you know, back when he was in high school, it caused him back problems, you know, because he weighed 300 pounds when he was in ninth grade or something insane like that, so... He's a big fella, and he's earning some good reviews for his footwork getting better and is you know, just playing better generally. He's definitely the standout among the number two offensive line.
I have written down in my notes when we talked to Brian Steinspring, too much size under Brandon Gore, that, you know, he does carry a lot of weight. And, you know, as much as they like size, they need these offensive linemen to move well, be mobile and athletic.
Yeah, we were watching the scrimmage today, and it just struck me looking at the offensive line that those guys, you know, last summer, this part of something I did, I got a chance to play golf with Keith Short, who played at 300 pounds at Tech, and he's down to 230 now.
Wow.
You know, and you'll see former offensive linemen and guys that played at 300 typically run around 230 to 240, you know. So these guys have got an extra 50 to 60 pounds packed on. A lot of it's in their gut, and that's just to have extra weight there. As long as they get them in shape and these guys can move that extra fat around, you know, that's how they like them to be.
Hey, I got an email, Will. Have you heard anything about that being rebroadcast on ESPN?
Well, it's going to be on ESPNU tonight, and I can't remember if that's 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock. You know, obviously, if you get ESPNU, if you're one of the 10 people that does, you know, tune in at 6 and see if it's on then, and if not, just keep an eye on it. As far as being rebroadcast on ESPN itself, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm sorry about that, Tom. I just emailed it there. I respect your opinion, so I kind of want to ask you about Marcus Vick, too, because I've asked Bill and numerous other people and Mike Harris, and my feeling is, obviously, I've seen Marcus in action. Until I see him start a game, play a full season, it's hard for me to just kind of say, wow, they're set at quarterback. Because I personally, looking at it objectively, do not think they're set until I actually see Marcus go out there and do it. And all the reviews have been incredible coming out of training camp and coming out of spring ball. What's your take on Marcus and his progress and where he's at right now?
It all sounds really good, you know, as you say. You know, people who get in there and observe practices and understand the game pretty well are speaking very highly of what he's doing. And not just his physical abilities, but his understanding of the offense and his execution. You know, we always knew the physical abilities were there, Greg. He can run, he can pass. But, you know, he's apparently really got the offense dialed in. And one of the questions that always comes up is, what kind of a leader is he going to be? Well, I don't think Marcus is going to be a real vocal leader. I think he's going to be the kind of guy who makes plays. He provides leadership by making plays. I'm having a hard time not succumbing to the hype, you know, and to all the positive things that I hear. Like you, I want to be patient and wait and see him play a few games. And, you know, when it's a 3-point game and there are 5 minutes left to go, how does he play then? You know, that's what I want to see.
Emo and Humes didn't play much on Saturday. Anything there, or they just got a break?
Emo had a very, very slight injury that's nothing to worry about. And Humes, you know, I mean, as far as I know, Cedric is healthy. And I think they just wanted to look at Bell and George Bell and even look a little bit at Elon Lewis. Elon Lewis carried 10 tons, and that's a lot in a 50-play scrimmage.
He'll probably redshirt.
Yeah,
Elon Lewis.
Yeah. He's very promising, but he's 5'8", and he weighs about 210. So, you know, part of that is that he's a tree trunk, and the other part is he didn't really show up in great shape. But
and they're loaded at tailback.
Yeah, and he knows he's going to redshirt. So if the kid wanted to eat a few extra donuts before reporting to school, that's fine.
That's my philosophy, no doubt. Before we let you go, who do you think has the edge in backing up predicted quarterback?
Well, that's another thing they're trying to sort out. You know, Kevin Rogers said when Corey Holt, who's the current number three, was recruited, he said this is a guy who's 2 or 3 years away from really picking up the offense and being the best that he can be. So, you know, the party line at this point in time is that Holt's passing skills are on par with Marcus Vick's, which means, you know, they're pretty impressive. Sean Glennon has better head for the offense, you know, because he took a lot of reps last year as a number two quarterback, and he just picked it up quicker than Holt did. So you've got a guy who knows the offense versus a guy who has great potential physically. And Holt is continuing to progress, and the coaches are continuing to see that development in him. So although Glenn is number two and Holt's number three right now, that door's still open.
Thanks, Will, for coming on. I appreciate it, buddy. You always do a great job with the website. I love logging on, and thanks for coming on the show.
No problem, Greg. Always glad to be on the air there in Richmond and on your show. Thanks.
Talk to you soon, buddy. All right. Will Stewart from TechSideline.com. They do a great job.